the Lord, sacrifice, soul abort, free of charge, can't afford to miss it, we won't be ignored. No need for knocking, come on in, bring your family and your friends, got you deep in tuning in, you two watching or listening. Music is a major topic, enjoy audio erotic, when the merch arrives, no copy, help me monetize and profit, mix the genres up like salads, watch your reggae, face the ballad.
Turn it up, you're listening to Live and Loud with the Lord, Nelson, that is.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, you know who it is. It's the big guy with the little show. Yes, indeed, the big guy with the little show. It is yours truly, the Lord. Nelson, that is, from the podcast Live and Loud with the Lord on the CMS Network. And ladies and gentlemen, once again, we have another amazing guest. So honored to have this spectacular young lady. She's such a songstress. She's so soulful. And, listen, when you look at her information, she's done a lot of things in her life, and she continues to do it, and music has been a big part of her life, and that's what we're basically going to talk about, is the music part of her life, and some of the other great people that are in her life, you know, as far as music is concerned, and you guys will know the name, because the name is just synonymous with greatness, so just being honest. So ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, I'd like to welcome to the show, Mrs. Patrice Zappa Porter. Thank you so much for being here, and I got to clap you up. But I know it's all love. So, first thing, I'd like to ask two questions to start things off. Where are you from, young lady, originally?
Originally, we were all born in Baltimore, Maryland.
Baltimore. Mm-hmm. Baltimore. So, I guess you like crab cakes and things like that.
Well, I was 9 months old when we left, so I have no idea what Baltimore's all about.
I got you. So, well, see, now I was going to ask you, what's the best thing about Baltimore? So you never, have you gone back there, or you just really don't know?
Yeah, when, let's say, 1967, I think it was, or eight. This is a long time ago, and I'm 71 now, so we're just like, you know, taking the medications and everything. But we went back, because we were going to Jacksonville, Florida on the way there. Okay. And so we stopped and visited relatives. And that's all I know.
That's all you know.
Being born and then that time. But otherwise, I don't know anything about Baltimore.
So you guys moved from Baltimore.
I do know that they dedicated a statue to a library outside the library, and all the other family members were invited, but I wasn't.
Really?
And so I wrote to the mayor and I asked her, gee, why would that be? I never got a response.
Well, young lady, we're gonna just give you all the respect in the world that you deserve and all the love that you deserve. And now I'm gonna tell you, now you keep taking that beautiful face down. We gotta keep that beautiful face up so we can see it now.
Sorry.
Yeah, see, you were down. We gotta make sure we see you, you know. Because when you're talking, I have it to where it's all focused on you. So we want to make sure it's all
okie dokie.
All right. So you guys moved from Baltimore, Maryland, and then you moved to California?
Yes.
So now let me ask you the question then. What is the best thing about California?
Well, since I've lived here most of my life, right now I'm living by the beach. I'm a block away. Mm-hmm. So the weather here is wonderful. It's great. Last week or so, it wasn't, because it was hot and humid.
Right.
But that's momentarily, because like the year and a half that I've been here since Nolan passed, I couldn't ask for more. I've made Ventura my home.
Sure,
but yeah, it's just I don't know. California is, it's like the Hotel California. You can check in, but you can never check out.
Really?
You might move away, but eventually you'll come back.
Wow. Mm. Wow. So how did you guys end up there? Did, you know, mom and dad move the...
My dad got a job with the Navy teaching metallurgy.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Don't ask me what that is.
Well, it's all love. So you love California. You are really a California girl. So that's,
yes,
that's
I what's am. Going
on. Yes, indeed. All right. Love it. So we'll talk about this. So you are the sister of the great Frank Zappa. Uh-huh. We know the name. The name is just great. So are there any other siblings? And if so, where are you in the lineup of siblings?
Okay. First, my father was married before, excuse me. My father was married before my mom. Okay. And they had a daughter named Ann. That's my sister, Ann. And she was born in 1931. Mm-hmm. And then after my dad wanted to go to Baltimore and his wife didn't, because they lived in North Carolina, Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And she didn't want to leave. And so my dad said, okay, well, see ya. And he went to Baltimore, ended up teaching, meeting my mom. They got married. Then came along Frank in 1940. My brother Bob, 1943, my brother Carl, 1947, and I came along in 1951.
Okay. So your dad, where's your dad originally from?
Partenico, Sicily.
See, now, I'm glad you said that. This is going to roll right into this next question I have, because the Zappa name is unique. I don't think I've ever heard it before, ever. The Zappa name is unique, so do you know the history of the name? And I guess
Greek.
It's Greek name.
It's a Greek name, and it means, translated means, now don't take this one wrong. It means a hoe, not a hoe, like you know.
Like a hoe, the dig. Wow.
I'm a dig.
Awesomeness. I love that. Yeah, I didn't know that. That's, and see, I said, do not go and look into it deeper. I wanted to know from you. I wanted to be surprised at whatever it is. And I was praying that you knew what it was, and you did. Oh, yeah. So it's a hoe. Wow. Yeah. Zappa name. That is very interesting. Very interesting. So your mother and father, please describe them and what it was like growing up as a Zappa kid.
Oh, I had a pretty good childhood. Being the youngest and the only girl in that family, because my sister was 20 years older than me,
right. Mm-hmm.
And had her own life in, I don't know where she was, Midwest or something.
Okay.
She taught. And then I ended up meeting her and the family when I was six, when we all lived in Lancaster.
Okay.
They came to visit us. And her kids, her daughter and son, are my niece and nephew. And they're like a couple of years younger than me.
Right.
You know, that's anyway, it was good. Frank was the best. I mean, you know, being with Frank was like being like, it was Christmas every day. Yeah. He was so much fun. And he was very protective of me. I think when I finally came along, after three boys, my mom kept saying, every time I had a baby, I wanted it to be a girl.
Right.
She said, by the time you came along, I didn't care. And that's why I'm the way I am. But anyway, hold on. I don't know. Can you see this?
I can see the coffee mug. I see it.
Have these made.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. Is that the band on the back?
Yeah, I had my friend send some pictures to her, and she makes cups, anything you want.
Right.
I have a picture on. She puts it on.
Okay.
So she sent me like six mugs.
Awesome.
Me, my kids, my family,
yes.
Me and Nolan, you know.
Gotcha.
Right.
Gotcha.
Anyway, so yeah, it was a good childhood. It was kind of sad when I was like nine, when Frank moved out, and then my mom was just, she was just torn up. She couldn't, she cried.
Yes.
And here I am, 9 years old. It's okay, mom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's going to be okay. So then he calls up and says, "Mom, I'm starving. Can you send me some money?" Here's a guy who wanted, "I want my freedom. I want to get out there."
Right, right.
"I'm starving and I don't have any money." So she sent my brother Bob on the bus to L.A. Yeah, that's where it was, L.A. Sent him on the bus with money and some other items in a box, and then he was okay. Then he met Kay, and meeting Kay and Frank, that was his first wife, that was fun.
Right.
I remember us getting ready to, it was me, Mom, and Carl. My dad wouldn't go.
Mm-hmm.
He just didn't think it was right that they should be living together and not married.
Got you. Shack it up, as they say.
Yeah. And living in sin. Yeah. It was only sin if the sex was no good. Come on, think about it. But it was good. She was a nice lady. And I remember, this was in my book too, but I remember standing in the doorway of her. She was in the bathroom fixing her hair. She had really blonde light. You could see through her hair, you know, because she teased it up, put it in a roll and stuff. But she had a sticky note or something, some little piece of paper on the mirror, and it said, "Don't forget your pill." And I said, "What's this?" She goes, "Oh, it's a reminder." I said, "What kind of pill is it?" She goes, "So I won't have kids." I said, "They got pills for that?"
Right.
Well, birth control pills back then.
Right. Yeah.
It was like in the early 60s. So, yeah. And it was a good childhood. I really love Frank. He was great. I had more fun with him. And whenever I'd act out or whatever, my mom would get frustrated and say, "You're just like your brother, Frank." And I go, "Thanks." I like that.
So you really looked up to him then. That's good. And then you being the baby, you know, of course, man. You know, they're going to look out for you. You're like, as I like to tell my daughters, they're my princesses. My son is my prince, but they're my princesses. And it's like nothing but love. And even with my son, he's going to be protective of his sister. So I understand.
Well, that's what happened. When we lived in Lancaster, we had this big backyard. So all the boys, they wanted to go out and play touch football. And I, being the tomboy that I was, wanted to go too.
Right.
So I went outside, and I can still see my dad standing at the door to the house. "Take care of your sister."
Right.
Uh-huh.
Indeed.
And this look of horror came over their faces. Okay. So like, "Pass the ball gently."
Yeah, but you had a good time. I had some friends. I'm a military kid, and their sisters used to play football, and they, listen, as beautiful as they are, they were as tough as anybody else was. So it was just like, man, oh man, there's something else. But yeah. So let me ask you this. How important was music in the Zappa household?
Oh my gosh. Well, Frank, he was the one that brought music into the house a lot. Okay. I mean, you know, my mom listened to the radio and stuff, and that was, you know, that kind of music.
Right.
But he came in and he found the Edgard Varese album of Nothing But Drums and Noise.
Okay.
And he put it on he put it on the little dinky record player that we had, and he turned it up.
Right.
And Mom was ironing, and she's going, "Frank, you know, take it in your room," which is what he was hoping she'd say.
Right.
So that was the start of it. Then he started, you know, with the drums himself, and he would get involved in, you know, groups and stuff. Remember, I was very young at this time. I was like 6, 7, 8. So I'm stretching my head here. And so then he started playing guitar.
Right.
And I think that's what kind of brought it all around.
Gotcha.
I picked up my dad's guitar. I was about 11. And I asked Frank to show me some chords, you know, And so he had come over one time, this, I forget what year it was, but he started showing me major seventh chords and different chords. And I, you know, and I'm digging this, and I've started writing songs one after the other. I was very prolific.
Right.
And him and Don Van Vliet, you know, Captain Beefheart.
Yes.
They came over to the house one night, and really? Mom was making her famous chili. It was a Friday night. And so they came over for that. And then they came in my room and listened to me play guitar and sing. And Don was like, God, I love your voice.
Mm.
And, oh, that was nice to hear. You know,
right.
Frank was, now get to work.
Wow. So you speak about you playing guitar and learning. So you are an artist in your own right, and you and your husband perform together.
Yes.
So what was the name of your group, and who is your husband?
Well, my husband was Nolan Porter.
Yes.
He was very popular in the Northern Soul movement in England, and they still play his music over there.
Oh, in England.
Yes.
Yeah.
And over here, too, I was embarrassed because when I met him and he told me some of the songs he did, I didn't know them.
Right.
You know, he showed them to me, you know, and I loved his stuff. I mean, there was one song that he did called, I think it's called My Home in the Stars or something. It's a beautiful song.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to thinking after he passed, well, he did. He found his home in the stars.
Right.
You know, it was great.
Indeed.
And his stuff is good. I mean, his voice was just wonderful. And when we first met, we met through a mutual friend, Mary Linville. And she, I think it was the day after his 50th birthday, she invited me and she invited him without telling each other.
Right.
That we're, you know, come out and let's do some karaoke and have a drink. Blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So I walk in and there he is sitting there and I'm going, what the hell is he doing here? Can't have girl talk with a guy sitting there, right? So we sat down and we started talking and then we decided, okay, it's time to sing. Yeah. So we got up and we did Too Much, Too Little, Too Late by Johnny Mathis and Denise Williams.
Yeah.
And like we're singing and we're like looking at each other going, hey, this sounds pretty good, you know? We should get this thing going.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of started it. We just ended up singing. This was, we met in 1999.
Mm.
Like literally 30 years earlier, him and Nolan and his agent, here we go with the memory again, Gabriel Meckler, went up to Frank's house. Frank wasn't there, and I don't know why they were there. But anyway, 30 years later, we meet.
Wow. That's something else. Wow.
Yeah, it was really interesting.
Yes,
so we just kept going. In 2000, we put on our first show called Legacy.
Mm-hmm.
And we hired some people to, you know, play and sing. And we just started, we did music from like the 60s up to the 90s, I think.
Right.
And yeah, it was a good show. We got a lot of good press from it. It was fun.
Well, no doubt I went and I listened to many of his songs and watch some videos and things like that. Amazing voice, as you said. He was definitely on point. I also listened to you because I was just like, I want to see. And then you guys were doing when you were in a show together. And then you started, I was just like, I was just like, I love it. So even before I get to that, because I'm going to ask some other questions about that. But what was the first song you recorded professionally? You.
Oh, gosh. I don't think I've ever had anything, you know, published. I wrote two songs and recorded them.
Mm-hmm.
One was called Amazed and the other was Could You Be the Loving Kind?
Right.
And they're on BMI. I think this friend of Nolan's, a guy named Brian Hudson, he wrote a bunch of stuff and had us record them.
Right.
And that went into a CD that he made.
Mm-hmm.
They're very political songs, you know.
Okay.
I'm not a political person.
I'm with you there.
And, or as somebody I once heard called it, a pile of ticks. That's right. Yeah. So those are his songs. I think we did Nolan and I. Oh, and my publisher, the guy that does my books, he wrote some stuff and we sang those songs too and recorded them. So as far as like something being played on the radio,
mm-hmm.
no.
All of these years that you've loved music and been around music, I've seen that you've been a teacher and done some other things, but so you never really wanted to get there to record or be out there, or you just saw what it was and you were just like, I'm good over here?
Well, I had asked Frank at one time to kind of help me out, mm-hmm. see if I could get something going on. One day I was over at his house and he was sitting in front of me and we were sitting apart from each other there. Mm-hmm. And Gail kept walking back and forth, listening to our conversation. Mm-hmm. And he was very nervous and basically all I wanted him to do was maybe hook me up to somebody that I could, but that didn't happen. He felt very bad about it, but I guess he knew what the repercussions would be after he left.
I understand. So how would you describe your musical stylings? Because you're super soulful to me. I watched you sing and I listened to you sing and I was just like, she has a beautiful voice, an amazing voice. You really do. So how would you describe your style of music, your style of singing, excuse me?
Kind of bluesy.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I'm on October 5th. Well, Nolan converted to Judaism mm-hmm. many years ago because he married his first wife. She was Jewish, so he had to convert. Uh-huh. And then I met him, and then I said, I wanted to know all about the services and everything. Mm-hmm. As soon as I went, I was hooked because I love the music.
Right.
Music's the first thing that gets me.
Yes.
Music was good. The prayers were good. The people around were just super, and so the ones High Holy Days are coming up, so Yom Kippur is coming.
Right.
I live in Ventura. They're having the services in Los Angeles. Okay. So we're looking at over an hour and a half away. Right. I'm paying somebody a lot of money to come get me, to take me there.
Wow.
And I'm singing the one song a rabbi Jerry mm-hmm. he loves is called Freedom. Mm-hmm. It's an old Negro spiritual. Oh, freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, freedom.
I know what you're talking about today.
I don't want to add change gonna come mm-hmm. in there somewhere too.
Right.
So that a lot of that, I figure if you're gonna sing and you feel it, you ought to let it out.
Indeed. And you 100% do that. You can tell that you're feeling the music and what you're doing. And I truly enjoyed it. And it was soothing to my eardrums, I must say.
Thank you.
You really are. No, you definitely have it. So I've read you've written two books. You spoke about it a little bit. So tell mm-hmm. us the title of each and what they're about.
Well, the first one was My Brother Was a Mother, a Zappa Family album. Now, the way that came about was in 1968, I think it was, or 9, Frank was going to do some songs and have me sing them. And he was going to have the title of the album be My Brother Is a Mother. Mm. Well, since I started to write this book, the people that helped me publish my first edition, she suggested, why don't you call it My Brother Was a Mother, since he's passed.
Right.
So a Zappa Family album. So because I had a lot of pictures that weren't seen before. There's a lot of pictures of Frank on the internet that have been seen thousands of times. Wow. I had the ones that weren't.
Gotcha.
So then the next edition became My Brother Was a Mother, Take Two, mm-hmm. Take Three,
yeah.
and Take Four. Mm-hmm. So I've got like four editions of the first book, and the second one was called If I Could Only Be Sure, The Life of Nolan Porter.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Gay respect to the husband. That's love. That's love. Big. So
now that came to me, I think, let's see, he passed away in February of 2021. And I moved up here in March of last year. And in May, I think it was, I was just sitting at the computer and something said, why don't you start writing a book? You know? So I did. And by December, it was out. I had asked people to, you know, send me what stories, if you have stories or pictures of yourself with Nolan, you know, let me know, send them to me. And yeah.
Well, that came to me, that came to you easily because it was something you were passionate about. It was something that you were very knowledgeable about, a person that you were very knowledgeable about.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that that came easy to you once you started doing it. It probably just came out so fluid. I knew it probably had to be.
Yeah.
So, no, beautiful thing. So, I'd be remiss if I didn't speak about Frank. So, let's talk about him a little, even though we've talked about him. Let's talk about him a little bit. So Frank is the oldest of the children, and you're the youngest.
Yeah,
so Frank has been described as many things, a musical genius, outspoken, innovator, iconoclast. How did you see him?
Oh, brilliant. Can do anything. he stood up by himself. I mean, I was always in awe of him. And one time I went over to his place because I had written a song and I was going to enter it into a contest. And I asked him if he could record me singing it. He says, sure. So I went up there, took my guitar, and I played my guitar while I sang my song. And after we got done, he says, how do you do that? I said, do what? He says, play guitar and sing at the same time. I went, well, right. Look how you play. Who can sing with that?
Right.
How do you sing with that?
Well, you know, listen. They do it, but that's more of a solo, I guess, like that. And he was good at it too.
Oh yeah, no one can touch him.
Oh my goodness! So, do you share any of his thoughts and ideals about life in general?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I was always amazed that we were on the same page when we both thought that God should have stuck with the animals. Stop right there.
Well, I must say that my thing I always say is the world is not crazy, it's the people in it. I believe that.
There you have it. I rest my case.
I believe that 100%.
And we're not alone in the universe. In fact, he said it's very pompous of man to think that he's the only intelligent life force in the universe.
Right.
I've always believed it myself. You know, you sit there and look out your window and you see things fly by and you go, what the hell was that?
All right, listen, I'm with you on that one, both definitely. So you know, it's just the fact that, you know, watching him, he was just such a free spirit. And he just did things that were just different. And when you look at it, and so every time, you know, me going back and even watching some things just in the last few nights, and I was just smiling because it was just different. And it's kind of like a Kanye West of today who just, you know, on another level, just different, you know, and Frank seemed to be into like sonics, into the sounds. And, you know, that's what my perspective, and it was, you know, just a beautiful thing, you know, I mean, definitely was. So what was the greatest thing to you about his music, and were you ever inspired by it?
Oh, yeah, I knew I could never, I could never play like that, or, you know, his music was, he didn't follow the normal pattern of like verse, bridge, verse. I mean, right. He would do maybe the bridge first and two verses and something else. But, you know, I loved listening to his stuff, mm-hmm. and I sure as hell did get some ideas. You know, I think Frank is to be listened to, not imitated.
Awesome. Hey, that's
he had me over there one time and he had this humongous speaker. Mm-hmm. He was leaning on it and he played Charlena for the first time I ever heard it.
Uh-huh.
Wonderful. Right. He says, what do you think, Andy? I said, well, what's not to like? I guess it was like, boom, my hair was flying back, you know? And it was great. Great song.
Yes, I'm very visual. So when you hear me laughing at things, and I'm super visual. So I'm picturing everything that you're saying. It's like I'm there. So forgive me if I laugh, but I laugh all the time. I can't help it. This is who I am. So when I listen to him, he's telling a story. And his storytelling allows the listener to visualize what he's saying very easily. So he was an incredible musician and played with other incredible musicians.
Oh, yeah.
So why do you think so many were drawn to him like a moth to a flame?
Well, I think a lot of that was they liked his music. They liked what he did. Just as my opinion. I don't know if this is in fact, but I felt like they loved what he did. So they wanted to be in that because I've met so many people that say, hey, I auditioned for your brother. And I go, yeah, I see you didn't make it. That's why you're standing here talking to me.
Right.
And I mean, people would sweat so much that it would roll down into their boots, you know, because very taskmaster. Mm-hmm. But Frank's music to me is it's inspiring. It's awe. It's just it's so much power there. There's a group called the Gypsy Kings. Mm-hmm. You've heard of them.
Yes, I have.
And just the thought of being in the room with all of them playing, it's mm-hmm. just like it's so much testosterone.
Right.
And that's what Frank had for one man.
Yes.
He had all that testosterone.
He was like a prince before Prince.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, playing all the instruments and just knowing exactly what he wanted. Mm-hmm. And
that's where Jazz from Hell came from, because he said nobody could play this stuff. Right. What he had, that's why he made it come out of the electronics, gotcha. You know, the machines, the Sinclavier.
I mean, definitely amazing. So, you know, Cosmic Debris
uh-huh.
is awesome. And I watched you knock it out the park on a live version. You really uh-huh. did. You did it so much justice. I mean, listen, it was amazing.
Is that the one at the Zapanale?
Say again?
Is that the one at the Zapanale?
I'm not sure exactly where it was. All I know is that you just came out there and you were, I remember.
It's on stage, right?
It was on stage. Yeah, it was amazing. And so how is it to cover his songs and what's your favorite song by Frank?
Oh, God, there's no way to pinpoint a favorite song.
Ooh, okay.
I like the stuff off the Apostrophe album, especially St. Alfonso's Pancake Breakfast.
Yes.
It was delightful.
I just laughed and listened to him and just laughed. And I listened to it again and I just laughed. I was just like, man, he is a wild boy.
It's some wild shit. Yeah. And that, and of course, the early stuff. I liked Freak Out. I liked Absolutely Free. We're Only in It for the Money. Mm-hmm. Lumpy Gravy was one of my favorites because the music on there is just out of this world.
Right.
The instrumental stuff is just out of this world. It's yes. beautiful.
Yes.
And yeah, the later stuff, now there's a lot of stuff I haven't heard, you know, but like Chunga's Revenge, I thought that was very good. RDNZL. Do you know that one?
I don't think I know that one.
Okay. Look it up.
I will.
It's Verdunzel. RDNZL. Very good. This, I mean, his master. Oh. One time, my dad was going to send the limousine out for my parents to come hear him in concert. This is when he was with Flo and Eddie.
Okay.
My mom didn't want to go. So I said, can I go and will you babysit my son? Yeah, okay. So we get there in the limousine, get inside. And we're sitting, you know, my dad and I were seated. I think Harry Ruby was sitting next to him. Okay. And there was this lovely pungent aroma. I'm just going, God, what is that? My first contact guy. And Harry nudges my dad and says, see that guy up there? That's my son. My dad looks at him and goes, see that guy there? That's my son. Shut Harry up for about 5 minutes.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Ah, there's so many stories.
I know, listen, I know there is. I know there is. So let me say in cosmic debris, the line, the price of meat is going up and your old lady is going down is such a great line. Me being a writer and a lyricist, that hit me so crazy. And I was just like, oh my gosh, that is amazing. I love that. I love that. So. So how would you describe his writing style? Because he was unique. Definitely unique.
Like I said in my book, he observed society.
Right.
Put it in a musical book report.
Oh,
nice. Pulled it up and said, take a look. Nice. This is you.
Nice.
Right?
Nice. Okay. So now back to the guest star of the show, which is Patrice Sappaport.
Somebody come in?
Oh, okay. That's me.
So where are you now musically, and what is on the horizon for you?
I've got a couple of projects I'm working on. I don't want to jinx them by telling what they are. But one is going to be on one of the major networks, you know, that you stream, like Netflix. That's a
streaming network, okay.
I'll be doing voiceovers for that. And then the other one is something that will be seen. So those two I'm working on right now. As far as music goes, I haven't been singing that much, you know, because, well, Nolan's not here, so we don't have any gigs. Because, like, Nolan would always get the gigs. And, but that's okay, because although I don't look it, I am getting older.
We all are, young lady.
Not you.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Way you. Older than you, honey.
Yeah, listen, we're all getting older. My birthday's coming up September 28th. We're all getting old.
And how old will you be on September 28th?
55.
Oh, baby.
I'm just saying, though. I mean, listen.
You're a punk. You came up to 71, we'll start talking. Okay?
Well, let me tell you something. I pray that I get there. So you should be thankful and grateful that you've gotten to see so much and you continue to see. And that's a beautiful thing, most definitely. Most definitely. Young lady. Now the thing, since we are actually back to you again and talking about what was the last song that you listened to in your car? On the computer, what was the last song you just listened to?
Well, I like to listen to Jackie Gleason's orchestra.
Orchestra.
Yeah, I love that kind of music.
So you like big band type music?
Yes, I do.
Let me go ahead and tell you something. So do I. I love the sounds. Let me say this. So many people think I'm crazy because I love, I always say that there's no genre snobbing with this guy. I love all kinds of music. And if it hits me, it hits me. I don't care what genre it is. If it hits me, it hits me. And if it's hot, it's hot. And you know, and I guess in my mind, I believe more people should feel that way. And I know more people don't. But some people just like, I just listen to this or I just listen to this. And I understand it. But music is one of the greatest things ever created. It's one of God's greatest creations. Music is
the best.
It's the best. And music is such a time machine to me. My wife always just looks at me. She's just like, do you have to sing everything all the time? You know, her name's Nina. Do you have to sing, Nina, what are you doing today? You know, I can't help it. She just looks at me. She just shakes her head. She said, please today, could you just not sing my name? Just don't sing my name. Not today. You know, it's all love, though, you know, because I love music so much, and I see that you love it the same, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's beautiful. So you were speaking of children. So how many children do you have?
Three.
You have three. Mm-hmm. So boys, girls.
I have boy David. He's 52. Mm-hmm. My daughter Julie is 47, and my other daughter Eva is 43.
So are they into music at all?
Not that I know of. We're gonna listen to it,
but listen to it.
Playing it, no.
So how much, you know, with Frank, how close were they with Frank?
We didn't get to hang out with Frank as much as people think we
okay.
did.
I got you. Just a question.
Yeah.
Listen, I know how things go. I mean, honestly, listen, families, it's anything can happen, man. So, you know.
It's a dynamic. You know.
Right. You just got to enjoy the life you've been given and, you know, you being a mother. And, you know, taking care of your children, you know, there are certain things that you did and had to do. And it's just what it is. And, you know, sometimes our children don't understand, you know, but we as parents, we do what we believe is right. And, you know, we don't always make the right decisions, but, you know, we do what we think is right at the time or we believe is right at the time. So it's all love. I mean, it's all love. So. You know, they love mom, and that's all it is, too. And it's all that matters. So they're all grown, because all mine
are... Oh, yeah. And I have two grandchildren, too.
Yeah, I have one. And all my children are grown, graduated from college, and it's just a beautiful thing to see them take it to another level. Because as my father told me, he said, you're supposed to be better than me. He said, not that you're better than me, but you're supposed to take it to another level. And so... That's what I'm glad that my children are doing also. So to see them take it to another level now, and I'm just really proud of them. And plus, I get great birthday gifts and Christmas gifts. They take care of dad. So
I don't mind if I get gifts or not, just as long as they're happy.
Right. No, and I just say that because they're doing well. But one thing, they always have to ask me 30 times, and I tell them, I don't need anything. I'm nice. Good. I was like, if you guys come to the house and, you know, we cook out or something or we do something like that, just that quality time is so important. And I think that so many of us have lost that. I know that, and I'm running my mouth now talking about me, but I know that my family, my wife and I, we always did things with our children. The entire time they played, they were into sports, they played basketball, they were into, you know, all kind of school studies and everything like that, you know, and so we supported them 100%. And a lot of people used to say, like, well, you guys aren't here. You guys don't do this. No, we were about our children. You know, they didn't ask to be here. We brought them here. So we gave them 100% of our time. And now that, you know, they're kind of out the house and, you know, they're away from us, you know, it's good to see them when we see them.
Yep.
And it's kind of like when they come home, it's like if they stay like for a few days, I get back into that mode, and then when they leave, I'm sad again. I mean, I love my babies. You know, they'll always be my babies, even though they're super grown. You know, they're always
super
babies. I'm just running my mouth.
Being a parent.
Say again?
You don't stop being a parent.
You do not stop being a parent. Not at all. So what else do you have going on right now? I know you said that you have the things that you can't really talk about. And you say you haven't done anything since your husband's passed, but... You're not looking to do any more music, or you don't want to do any more music?
Oh, I'd love to. You know, I think I'm hoping that with the notoriety from the projects I'm working on, that would work into it. You know, I've been blessed to meet certain people lately that are connected. And so, like, you know, it always helps when you know what? I know somebody that could, you know, do this and this and this for you. Yeah.
Cool.
I'm down with it. Yeah.
Yeah, and just even with me and the podcast, and I always I'm on the CMS network. I always give the, you know, big shout out to Chris Aiken, and Chris has interviewed every big artist that there is, you know, in metal music, rock music. I mean, he's just done so much. And then, you know, I interviewed him, and he was, you know, asked me to come on the network, and he was just like, I just like what you're doing, you know, I like your style, and it was just an honor to be there and to link up with, as you just said, link up with other people that love what you're doing also, but could put you in another place. Because this business that we're in is all about relationships. And a lot of people don't understand it. It's a difficult business to be in, to get things done and all those things like that. But if you know the right people, things can definitely happen for you.
Looking forward to it.
And listen, there's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. So, what did I want to ask you? It's like, I don't want to stop talking to you, but you know, it's like, I don't want to ask more stuff about Frank because there's so much stuff to ask. But this is about you. This is about you and your greatness. And so, you know, I just really wanted to, you know, show you that love and let you know that I'm thankful and grateful to have you on here just to speak, you know, about your journey and the things that you've done. And so let me ask you a question. How do you know Dr. Dot Stein?
In 2003, when my book came out, my first edition came out, flew to New York for a book signing, which was very dismal. But I was backstage at the B.B. King's in Manhattan when this group Project Object was playing.
Okay.
And Ike Willis was there and Don Preston, a bunch of, you know. And so I'm backstage and my book's being passed around and everybody's looking at it. And she was there, you know, mm-hmm. she's the masseuse to the stars. Bites and all. Anyway.
<That's awesome. laughs>
Yeah, she is. She speaks fluent German. Blows me away.
That is incredible.
Yeah, she thinks a lot of me, which I'm very grateful for. Yes. And I didn't really talk to her, but I saw her and mm-hmm. I think we exchanged, you know, I think we were both kind of like, didn't know what to say.
Right.
But at one point, Don Preston, who was looking at my book, he looked over at me, he's thumbing through it, and he looks up at me, and he comes over and he kneels down, and he says, I didn't know Frank had a sister. I said, well, now you do, and don't forget it. He says, well, where were you in the 70s when we were on tour? I said, I was at home having babies and being married. And da, 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 da.
Right.
The 70s were a very busy decade for me. That's when I had all my kids. Thank God. I can't imagine having children now. It would be scary. Yeah. Very scary.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's how I met her. And we just kind of kept up with each other, and now she calls me very late at night because that's her only free time. You know, so like I get a call at midnight, you know, and are you asleep? Almost. And we talk for like 2 hours. It's great.
Indeed, but she's such an interesting individual.
Oh, yeah.
She is on another level, and I love it. The conversation that she and I had was so amazing. She made me laugh so much, and I just wanted to listen to her. And then I told her, I said, Dot, you're taking over my show. but you know, that's who she is, though. She's such a free spirit, and she loves Frank Zappa. She is a gigantic fan. And so, you know, even in our conversation, we talked about it a lot. And that's when she was just like, hey, as we, you know, back and forth on Facebook and things like that, she was just like, hey, Lord, you need to check out Tree. You know, you need to check her out and have her on the show. She'd be a great. And I was just like, I would love to have her on the show. I would love to have that kind of conversation, because my thing is that I don't want to have all of the same people. Like I told Chris, I was like, you've had all of the metal people on there. What can I ask them that you know, it's going to be different?
Hasn't been asked before.
Right. And even with you, so I didn't want to go watch a whole lot of things or any interviews that you've been on, because I'm like, I don't want anything, you know, to push my mind over here, or as I like to say, lead the witness. I don't want that to happen. I want to just sit there and I look at you and I see the things that you've done, and I just come up with my own questions. And I know they may be like some of the other ones, but that's my uniqueness. I just didn't want to ask the same question that everybody else probably asked. And I really wanted to make this about you and who you are and what you've done, because you have your own story. Everybody has a story. And so you have your own story. Just like you said, when the young man asked you, where were you, you know, during all this time, it's like, you like, hey, I was having babies. I was married. I was living, you know, a life. And, you know, Frank was doing his thing, but this was my life over here. And so your other siblings, Now, is Frank the only one that is passed or
no, everybody? Everyone's gone but me. Everybody. I am the last living original Zappa family.
Really?
My turn.
Wow.
It all lays out. Can you see my shoulders?
You can handle it, though. You can handle it. Really?
Strong.
So did you guys ever go to Greece, to your father's homeland?
No.
Never.
Frank went to Italy in 82, and I think they made a short or some kind of a documentary about him being there. Yeah. It was very interesting. I saw it.
So you never had any desires?
Well, I understand that it's not real. Right now, at this point, it would be hard for me because I don't walk long distances. So, okay. And they're not very disabled friendly over there. Yes. I don't think a wheelchair would probably consist of two goats and, you know, pulling a rickshaw or something. You know, it just wouldn't work for me.
Once again, I've watched so many shows that I know how the streets are probably a lot smaller and things like that. So I see
more things. That's pretty good over there. Look at that. Yeah. I can dig it.
You are awesome, young lady. You are definitely awesome. I truly want to tell you that I appreciate you. I appreciate your talents. I appreciate you taking the time to spend some time with me. It really means the world to me.
I'm honored that you asked me. Thank you.
I really, you know, a lot of times people say, oh, you're such a nice guy. And I was like, oh, you know, I have my bad moments also, but I'm all about love. You know, I'm about love and I'm about spreading love as much as possible. You know, I always tell people everything is love. But I said, people either love me or they love to hate me, but it's all love, though. You know, that's just the way my life.
When's your birthday?
September 28th.
September 28th. So that's why you're so pretty, because you're Libra. Libra men are pretty.
So let me say this to you. Even though they're Virgos, September is like such a great month because my oldest sister, but my second oldest sister was born on September 1st. Her daughter was born on September 2nd. I have a cousin born on September 2nd. I got married on September 5th. My mother is born on September 6th. And she rested in peace. My dad is born on September 9th.
Oh, my God. You had two Virgo parents?
Yes. So now.
That's scary.
So I'm born September 28th. My cousin was born on September 28th. I have so many friends that were born on September 28th. Nephew, September 25th. My sister-in-law, September 18th. It is just bananas. And there's so many other people that I'm missing. It is so September, but I always say this though, September, if you're born in September, you are a celebratory child. So whether it was in, you know, November, December, you know, it's the holidays. It's the holidays. You count 9 of us back. So mom and dad were enjoying themselves in many ways.
What are you, Reborn?
67.
Oh, sheep.
Yeah, 67. So I'll be 55 this year. 55, and I'm just thankful. And I know that my wife, she set up something yesterday. You know what? I'll talk to you about it off air because I don't want to spoil it when I put it out because it's something I'm going to put out. So I'm started running my mouth. But it was an amazing thing that she did for my birthday yesterday. And it's early, but she did it again. She surprises me every time. I never know. Because I don't go so deep into looking at things like that. I'm just living in the moment and enjoying myself. And I'm not trying to overthink things. And she surprises me, whether it's been anniversaries or birthdays. It's just like, pow! Oh, my God. And I get emotional and I cry like a big baby. But it's all love. But it's all love. But young lady.
My birthday is March 28th.
March 28th.
And I give myself my own surprise birthday parties because I'm the only one that knows what I want. I started doing that in 1990, you know, so it's been like a yearly tradition. This year, there's a restaurant out here called The Greek. Mm-hmm. Greek food. Awesome. Right. Superb.
I love Greek food.
So I have my party there. Mm. And It was great. We had the Greek dancers, had a belly dancer. I mean, she was getting people up on the floor to dance with her. And oh, it was just, man, the food was just outrageous. And I said, this is it. This is my last party. You want to give me a party? You go ahead. I'm not doing it no more. This was very costly. That cost me a lot. So I said, yeah, that's it. Just, you know, a picnic on the beach, maybe.
That's beautiful. Those are beautiful. Those are beautiful moments. You just said that. And so now I'm looking out at the ocean and the sun and, you know, and then you're in California also. So come on now. Come on now. All that's got to be just a beautiful. It's beautiful for me just to picture it. So.
Oh, it's going to be great.
I've been out to L.A. once. My son won a contest out there with Shaquille O'Neal when he played for the Lakers. And they flew us out there. And we had an amazing time. And then I have some friends that live in Napa, California that I toured with, a band called Vengeance. And once again, the lead singer, he was born on September 28th also.
So
we just connected. And I actually, they flew me to California and I was the officiant for he and his wife. So I married them. And so, I mean, listen, my life has been a great life. They have, you know, it's a roller coaster ride, of course, but I'm just thankful. And I'm grateful. And I know that through music, I've been able to meet amazing individuals like yourself. And I mean that wholeheartedly. And I don't say that lightly. And I thank you very, very much. I really, really appreciate your time. And I pray that you had a great time. I really do. I pray that, you know, it wasn't like everything else. And I pray the conversations were good.
This was great. I felt very at ease with this because there's sometimes, you know, you want to interview me, and I'm very nervous because I don't know what they're going to ask.
Right. And seeing with that, I don't look at it as an interview with me. I just want to have a conversation. I know I'm asking questions, but I just want to have more of a conversation because I really want to get to know about you. Because when you're saying things and talking, I'm really paying attention. I want to know exactly what you said because I see things so well. So it's just your life is interesting to me.
That's good because there's going to be a test later.
Hey, well, it's all love. It's all
a quiz.
It's all beautiful. It's all beautiful. But once again, I really appreciate it. Thank you for being here. Thank you for asking me. I know your time is precious. So, ladies and gentlemen, once again, you know who it is. It's yours truly, the Lord. And this beautiful young lady on the other end, Mrs. Patrice Zappa Porter. Candy, as she's affectionately known. I didn't know, you know, I heard you say it, so I'm just going to say Candy. I like to keep it, you know. But Candy, rocking the hat, doing what she does, keeping it official. Look at her. It's all love. But thank you again, and we really appreciate you.
See you soon.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
The mystery man came over and he said, I'm out of sight. He said, phenomenal service charge, I could reach Nirvana tonight. If I was ready, willing, and able to pay him his regular fee, he would drop all the rest of his present affairs and devote his attention to me. But I said, look here, brother. Who you jiving with that cosmic debris? Now who you jiving with that cosmic debris? Look here, brother. Woo! Don't you waste your time on me. Mystery man got nervous and he fidgeted around a bit. He reached in the pocket of his mystery robe and he whipped out a shaving kit. Well, I thought it was a razor and a can of foaming goo. Well, it told me right then when the top popped open, there was nothing his box wouldn't do. With the oil of Aphrodite and the dust of the Grand Wazoo, he said, you might not believe this little fellow, but it'll cure your asthma too. And I said, no. jiving with that cosmic debris. Now what kind of a guru are you anyway? Look at brother, don't you waste your time on me. Don't waste your time. Of my own, I said, and you can't help me out, so take your meditations and your preparations and ram it up your snout.
But I got the crystal ball,
he said, and held it to the light. So I snatched it all away from him, and I showed him how to do it right. I wrapped a newspaper around my head so it looked like
I said some of my children
said, we was going to sleep. I robbed his
rings and his pocket
watch and everything else around. I had that sucker hypnotized, I couldn't even make a sound. I proceeded to tell him his future plan. As long as he was hanging around, I said, the price of beat has just gone up and you old lady. Now, is that a real poncho or is that a serious poncho? Don't you know? You can take more money as a butcher. So don't you waste your time on me. Don't waste your time
on me.
Turn it up. You're listening to Live and Loud with the Lord, Nelson, that is.